Hi, everyone. Welcome to Nancy's Metaphysical World and More. My name is Nancy, and I host the show. And today, I am excited to have this guest on. He has got a lot to talk about and a very unusual story. So we're going to bring him on right away. His name is Colonel Billy Fay Woodard. So can I call you Billy?
Absolutely.
All right. So, Billy, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Now, what I'd like for you to do, Billy, is, first of all, because you have a very unusual and unique story, so let's talk a little bit about when you first started being actually on the outer Earth.
Okay. Well, back in 1951, me and my twin sister, we were deposited or left in a city park in a state called Texas and Wichita Falls, Texas. We were both very, very young, and we were put on in a picnic table, or basically a trash receptacle, on top of the garbage, and we were discovered by a maintenance worker and a policewoman, who then turned us over to Child Protective Services, and then they turned us over to the county orphanage of that city. So, well, as soon as we got there, they put us in quarantine, which was mandatory for all new kids that are going into this orphanage, to give us input or whatever. And we didn't talk at that time. We didn't talk at all. And so they were under the impression that we didn't talk. So we were classified as deaf and mute. So we remained there a couple years until we were finally adopted by an Air Force family, the Woodards. And at the age of six, when we turned 6 years old, we were separated, forcefully separated. My adopted father sold my sister to a research laboratory for observation because of her extraordinary powers and gifts. So at that time, when we were together, we were able to mental telepathy, communicate without speaking. Also, we had the telekinesis power and psychokinesis, and we were classified as witch kids and as weirdos and you name it, they called it. But we didn't, we weren't any of that. We were just, to ourselves, we were normal, but to other people, we were quite strange. While I was after I grew up and to the age where I was able to go to school and high school and all this, I graduated high school at age 12. Of course, back then they didn't have these multiple ways of doing a problem. They had adding, subtraction, multiplication, and division, which was normal. But so they, back then they didn't have trigonometry or algebra or calculus or any of that other stuff. So it was real easy to graduate, which I did at age 12. I went into the military at a very young age as well because of my extraordinary ability to max out all the tests that they gave me. They said you qualify for anything and everything, including officer. So I went into the officer's training school at in the Air Force. So I came out a first lieutenant, and they said, where do you want to be stationed? I said, I'd like to go to Hawaii. They said, well, what you'd like to do and what you're going to do is in two different things.
Mm-hmm. Usually so, is.
Usually is. So they sent me, you're going to the Pentagon, Washington, D.C. I said, why? And they said, because your father, adopted father, requested that you be stationed there.
Okay, now I'm going to put you on hold so people know that that's where you're going to go, okay?
Okay.
Now, from the time that happened to you, now let's go backwards, because you've actually come from Hollow Earth.
Yes.
And I started with your story first because I wanted people to start to pay attention as to some of the things you were saying when you were talking about your extraordinary powers and gifts.
Yes.
So now let's go backwards to Hollow Earth time.
Okay.
Now, before you start, there are a lot of people who do not believe that there is a Hollow Earth in Earth, nor do they want to hear that there is a Hollow Earth in Earth. They want to believe what our wonderful government has told them
and taught them in school.
So now we're going to go backwards to when, as far back as you can remember, Billy, when you first came, you know, into Hollow Earth. You know, start there, and then we'll pick up you going to the Pentagon, okay?
Okay. Well, me and my twin sister, we were given a mission to, while we were in Hollow Earth, to the mission was to go to the surface, be raised in a surface world family, and to be observe and learn, and then go on a mission. In the Hollow Earth, first let me explain what the Hollow Earth is, because a lot of you don't know. But Hollow Earth is what is the true makeup of the Earth. The Earth is not solid, as you've been taught in school or by your higher forms of learning. The Earth is hollow. It has a central sun, which shines out through the polar openings, reflects off of ice crystals called crystalline, that reflects back to the Earth as a halo of light. That's your northern lights. The northern lights is not magnetic. It is not electrical. It is just the reflection from the central sun shining off of ice crystals back down to the Earth as a halo of light. That is your aurora borealis and the definition of it. Now, your the central sun is 600 miles across. It's less dense in brilliance than your outer sun, and so therefore it has a subtropical paradise inside. The temperature, constant temperature on the inside of the Hollow Earth, is ranges between the 73 degrees to 76 degrees. Never below that or above that, and stays constant. So your Earth is hollow. I know that burns a lot of bridges and shakes a lot of people's minds and bursts a lot of bubbles, but I'm quite serious, and it can be verified that it is hollow.
Okay. Now, as a child inside Hollow Earth,
yes,
I'm sure there are many children there.
Of course.
So a lot of your abilities are inherited. They're not just given to you or taught to you. You know, plus in your bio, you've talked about how you had both sexes as when you came to Earth.
Yes.
So in Hollow Earth, do all children have both sexes, or is there just certain children that have been chosen to have both sexes?
Some do, some don't. That's usually how it's more of a choice that you make to be both or to be one sex or both. It's up to you. It's totally and completely up to you. The people of the Hollow Earth have come to the realization that they are the creators of their reality, which you are here too as well. But you don't realize it, or you don't want it, or you don't accept it.
Not only do they not want all of those things, but they don't know how to handle all of those things.
That's right.
Which leaves us in this mess that we're in on the outer Earth. But as a child, Billy, you and your sister, you know, there's in part of your bio, there's ancient language that you guys actually came and used when you're on the outer earth. But where is your normal heritage from? Let's call it that.
Well, my father, who is Zorup, he originated, or we originated from, the planet Lemur. The planet Lemur is what you normally refer to as Nimbaru, or Planet X. It's on an elliptical orbit that comes back around every so many thousands of years, and and the planet is on its way back in again. It's five times the mass of Earth, and when it passes, of course, it causes problems for the Earth, but nothing that can't be subdued, if you know what I mean. The thoughts of the people on the hollow earth and the thoughts of the people on the surface can diminish the destructive power of the planet as it passes. It will be passing just the other side of the moon when it does come back through this back through your solar system.
When is that supposed to happen? Do you know?
Exactly?
No, not exactly. Kind of,
no.
You know, say it within a month or two.
Within a month or two. No, I won't go that. I won't mention. I won't say that. It would be somewhere around the end of next year.
Okay.
Or toward the end of next year, which will be when it will be coming by again. You'll notice it coming into your solar system when, if you look at the sun as it's rising, you'll be able to see the planet approaching as it comes out from around the, I believe, and I'm trying to remember, the right or left side of the sun. Either one. Well, watch both sides. I'm not sure which side is coming from, but it's supposed to be. You'll be able to see a white dot very close to the sun as it rises, and you'll know that that's the planet in question.
Okay, why did they actually put you guys into Hollow Earth here if they have their own planet? Why did that happen?
Well, because they chose to. It's a choice. I mean, once you're a galactic being, and which you will become soon enough, when you become a galactic being, you have the right to choose and create whatever you wish, and you have the power to do it, too. Even Jesus, when he walked the face of this earth, he was an extremely divine being. And he was also, when the miracles he did on earth, he also told the people that he was, his students, that they could do exactly the same thing and more. And it was hard for them to grasp. But he said, marvel not what I do, for greater shall you do, if you only believe you can.
Yeah, but that's been all twisted around by our religions that we have.
In the religions, it says, marvel not what I do, for greater shall you do, if you only believe in my name. And that's in King James.
Right.
And that is wrongly written.
Very much.
It should have been, and marvel not what I do, for greater shall you do, if you only believe you can. That wakes the scripture up when you say it that way, because that's the way it was meant to be.
Well, they've hidden a lot of scriptures from us, as far as I can tell by some of the studies that I have done. So it is time for people to wake up.
Of course.
It is their choice to wake up or not. So when Planet X, let's just call it Planet X, comes around toward the end of the year, is what everybody is reading the Mayan calendars, our destructive moment, December 21st, 2012? Is that what that's all about?
Well, the Mayan calendar is just that, a Mayan calendar. It doesn't herald anything or the end of the world or anything else. It's just a calendar. of the Mayan people. Whether or not, I mean, if you want to, you know, look, add anything into that, that's your choice. But it doesn't have any significance as to the end of the world or anything else. It's just a calendar.
I'm glad you say that, because you realize, Billy, that there are many, many people who are so convinced that we're going to have this big self-destruct mode December 21st, 2012, which is really not true.
Well, just like they thought they were going to have a rapture yesterday.
Yeah, well, we know that that's not happening and wasn't going to happen, so we just kind of let that go.
I know, but a lot of people believed it. Okay?
They did, and a lot of people did a lot of strange, weird things, and that's their choice because of it. So let's go back to inside Hollow Earth.
Okay.
Now, the temperature you said is between 73 and 76 year-round. Yeah. Is there like four seasons there, you know, what we would call four seasons, not where it gets cold, but like trees that bloom, trees that don't bloom, or is it everything in bloom all year round?
Everything is vibrant in nature, and everything is just always beautiful. None of them turn brown or anything like that. Literally everything is just so lovely. It's hard to explain. If you ever saw the movie Avatar,
mm-hmm.
the beauty there is pretty comparable to what it's like inside Hollow Earth. That and the animals, of course, other than the animals, of course, that's a creation of James Cameron. But the gigantic trees, that depicts how the trees are in the Hollow Earth. They are very tall. And even Admiral Byrd, when he flew into the Hollow Earth back in 1947, he was flying past trees, and he was 2,900 feet in the air. So you can imagine how tall these trees are.
Now, the population in Hollow Earth,
yeah.
It's not overpopulated by any means, I would imagine.
Oh, absolutely not. There's enough land in the Hollow Earth to accommodate everybody on the face of this planet, plus the ones inside.
But on the outer Earth, we've actually overpopulated and destroying Earth. So how can that be different?
Well, when there's a event that's going to be taking place with called the emergence, and when the Hollow Earth people will be coming to the surface to turn the Earth back to a pristine state of existence. They're going to be bringing their technology with them. They have the ability to split the ocean floor to allow one of their ships to come in and out, and you would term it as the Bermuda Triangle or triangle areas. Whenever a craft or a aircraft gets caught in that vortex when it's opened, they are either drawn inside if they're seen and observed by the Hollow Earth people operating that vortex. If they're seen, the aircraft is captured and brought inside. Inside the Hollow Earth, so they don't perish.
Right. So they're never found.
Right. They're never found. Neither is their aircraft.
Right.
And neither is their boat they were on. Or whatever, but the movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind, that was based on truth, and the finding of the aircraft in the Sonora Desert,
mm-hmm.
they actually found the seven aircraft in Flight 19, and in the Sonora Desert, totally intact with full tanks of fuel. Fuel tanks full to being three-quarters full. The aircraft started up, no problems with them, but they just didn't have any pilots.
Yeah.
And I know. And the same with the locating the huge transport ship called the Cyclops in the Sahara Desert. They also discovered that as well.
Billy, why would they find them in the Sahara Desert? You know, why just, that location?
They just happened to be deposited there.
Okay, so they were nice and safe.
I guess they didn't want to drop them in the ocean and pollute the ocean.
That's my wise choice.
Wise choice, yes. But as far as the, anyway, the Hollow Earth people are very concerned for your welfare on the surface. They love you greatly. They are your sisters and brothers, and they are one with you, and you are one with them, though you don't realize it yet. But you soon will. And also, like I said, they're bringing their technology with them. They will turn the atmosphere back to its pristine state. They will renew the complete reconstitute the ozone layer back to the way it was before. All of the poisons that are in the atmosphere will be done away with. You won't see any more chemtrails because there won't be any aircraft to make them.
That would be good.
Yes. All this will be done in the twinkling of an eye. That's how fast and how quickly they can turn the Earth back to a pristine state of existence.
Billy, do you think that the outer Earth people that inhabit the outer Earth are really ready for that? Or do you think that when that starts to happen, a lot of people may choose not to go forward because for whatever reason?
Yes, I believe that will happen. But I also know that there's several different things that's going to happen at that point. You're going to have people that are slated to go into the Hollow Earth or Inner Earth for education. And they'll be taken there at that time. The ones that are slated to go off-world, that believe they're from another planet or another galaxy, and that strongly believe it, that's where they will go. The ones that are not ready are to advance as Mother Earth is advancing, because Mother Earth is evolving right now. It began its ascension back in January of 2006. And that's when a lot of people were feeling nauseous, disoriented, and going to the doctor. The doctor couldn't explain why they felt this way. Just told them to go home and get a lot of rest and whatever. And it subsided after 3 months, but it's still going on. And what that was where the Earth shifted in dimensions from the third to the fourth. We are in the fourth dimension as we speak. You have to go into the fourth before you can go to the fifth. So you are presently in the fourth dimension. Whether you want to believe it or not, that's where you're at.
I was just going to say there's a lot of people who go, this guy is really out of his tree. But you know what, Billy, I happen to agree with most of the things that you're saying.
Uh-huh.
Only because that's my belief, which, you know, comes from within me.
Of course.
And a lot of people really have no clue that they have all of this ascension energy in them already and can really, like you said earlier, basically manifest anything and everything they want. The unfortunate part is that most of the people who are on outer Earth only manifest the negative because of their fears and their worries and what they've been told. And that
fear
got to
is
change.
The killer.
Very much so.
Yes, fear is the killer. See, man or the put it this way, the powers that be, and that would include religion, that would include government, that would include the secret, the Illuminati, if you want to call it that, or
mm-hmm.
whatever.
Secret society?
Yeah, secret societies. They all did this for the sole purpose to keep control over the population. They instilled fear by creating these elements of fear that the people would basically bow down to their overseeing, and that's exactly what they're doing. People would rather have someone tell them what to do or how to do it than them do it themselves. And that's wrong.
It is wrong.
It's very wrong. People are under, they're under misconception that you have these doomsday sayers, too. You have, like, Robert Dean and about the kill shot, talking about the sun is going to shoot a solar flare that's going to hit the Earth and take out half the population. That's not going to happen.
No,
that's ridiculous. For one, the sun is not hot. I'm just going to blow some minds here.
The sun
isn't hot. Okay, it is light. Ultraviolet light, dense in matter. Now, the sun, the heat you feel from the sun, is the light hitting the atmosphere of the Earth and going through the layers of the atmosphere, which is pretty thick. And then you have the rotation of the planet, centrifugal force,
mm-hmm.
that creates the heat you feel. Very hot in some places and lesser in others because of the thinness of the layer of the ozone. However, that's just light. It's not radioactive. It's not solar radiation. It's light, plain and simple.
Which is going to blow
sun,
everybody's mind.
The sun is a planet. It's called Helios. And there is a population living inside the sun. Now, I know that burst a lot of bubbles. Okay? The reason you see what you see in pictures and photos of the sun, shows solar flares and all this, that's what they want you to see because they want you, don't want you up there.
I don't blame them.
They're very peaceful people. They live in harmony, peace, and joy, and they don't want any interference from Earth. They already know Earth is in a chaos state of being, and it's got to evolve. And that's why the ascension of Earth started back in January of 2006.
Billy, are all of the planets out there inhabited?
All the planets in your solar system and other solar systems are all hollow, and they are inhabited. Yes, indeed.
So is it possible that some of the people that are here on Earth are from other systems, other, quote, planets, rather
yes,
than just
they are.
To think that we're this one-of-a-kind and egotistical in that thought?
Absolutely. People, there's different races on the Earth where are from different star systems, different planets. On top of that, besides being from other planets and other star systems, human race is a very young race compared to other races that have been here. Okay? The races before the time of Atlantis and Lemuria, they were here first. They came, they came onto the Earth, and they saw the beauty of the Earth, and they wanted to colonize it, so they did. So your ancestors are either Atlantean, Lemurian, or from other star systems. The Earth was uninhabited except for other type of creatures that were on here, dinosaurs and things of this nature. But the people were deposited at a later time.
You know, I was told by a few different people that I've interviewed that we are actually, our DNA has been kind of like made, kind of genetically put together. Is that true?
Engineered.
Is that true?
Yeah, somewhat it is. See, on people on the surface, they have past lives, and they've lived several different lives. People of the hollow Earth, however, have not. They do not have past lives. They are in their present and only incarnation, just as I am. I've had people try and read my past lives. They can't read me. I've had several of them say, you're not from here because you don't have any past lives.
You hear that when they don't have a better answer anyway.
Of course.
Let's go back, Billy, a little bit to Hollow Earth with you as a student, as a child, I should say.
Okay.
What do they teach you there as a child, and when do they start teaching you?
Well, let's put it this way. The schools in the interior world, Hollow Earth, Your universities would be considered preschool.
Okay, that's good.
That's about the best way to do it, best way to say it, because they have people, kids in the Hollow Earth, they are allowed to expand their minds. They're allowed, they're encouraged to expand their minds, to reach their full potentials, and they're not held back in any way. So they can create just by saying, thinking something. Or say if they say, or if they were on the surface and say if they wanted maybe a Chevy Malibu car or whatever, all they would have to do is think it, and there it would be. That's the kind of power that they possess.
See, and I know that you don't know a lot about me, but I'll tell you real quick, Billy, what I came to New Mexico to do. And that's to open a school, okay? It's called the School of Now, and it's exactly what you're talking about, where the children will be encouraged to be who they are, number one, and expand their minds as good as they can, and to actually learn truth, because schools today teach, they don't teach truth. So the children that are here on the outer Earth planet are very much advanced compared to what we used to be even, you know, 20, 25 years ago. So they're very bored here, and they're being drugged left and right, which I'm not into. And so I was channeled the School of Now to put it all together. So that is what I came to New Mexico to do. And, you know, and it sounds a lot like what they're teaching children in the inner Earth, Hollow Earth, but it's time that they learned it on the outer Earth.
Because
otherwise they're not going to get it.
That's true. See, your governments were not dumb, okay, by any means. Way in the past, they did a very cruel thing to get they wanted to have a study on the effects, or not the effects, but the gifts that are born into humans. Okay, they wanted to find out just how powerful a human could get. Okay, so what they did was they took children, newborns, right out of the hospitals. And the stories that they gave to the parents were, "Oh, I'm sorry, there was complications. Your child died, and we did everything we could, but we couldn't save them." So they went home and they mourned and they went about their lives. However, their children were not dead; they were taken to an underground facility, and they were experimented with. They let them grow up until they reached the age of toddlers. You know what age group that would be? About 4 years old. At that time, they tested them, and they proved to be superhuman. They had telekinesis powers. They had telepathy. You name it, ESP. The powers of being, they were able to find missing objects that they would hide from them, and they could tell them exactly where they were. When they realized this, they said, "This is a danger to the government, to our way of control. We cannot allow future generations to reach this potential." So what did they constitute?
They start
inoculations.
Yes, they start drugging
everybody. Inoculations, vaccinations, shots of God knows what, given to the children as they're going through school, as they're growing up. They're all the time they're being subjected to all kinds of shots and chemicals to stop them from reaching their full potential. This was the plan the government instilled. And it's been in effect since that time.
Yeah,
and some of the children that were in these experiments were allowed to live full, productive lives. Others were put away.
Yeah, which doesn't really, sound good. And most people out there listening are going to go, no, this can't be true. You've got to be kidding me.
No, but, I'm not kidding. I know
you're not. But people have a very hard time, you know, accepting
that
because
yes,
of what we have been raised with and what we've been told.
Yes.
I am not one that's for vaccinations of any kind because I agree with you.
Inoculations are bad news.
Yeah, and I think that there are a lot of people who are starting to wake up with that, with the fact that autism is being, you know, studied.
Autism is a creation of the government.
Yes.
Autism, epilepsy, you name it, every kind of disease that is plaguing modern man has all been produced by your governments. It wasn't produced naturally on the earth.
No.
Nothing that harms mankind was ever on earth. Everything that is harmful to mankind is a creation of man.
Mm-hmm. Like the swine flu is a good
Absolutely.
One.
All of
anyway.
It. AIDS and all this.
Yes.
Now, I want to also really mess some minds up here. Everybody walking the face of this planet can heal.
Yes, I agree with that.
I mean everyone. I don't care if you're red, polka dot, or whatever. Or whether you're Arabian, whether you're Jewish, whether you're Japanese, Chinese, Russian, you name it, you've got the power to heal. I can guarantee it, and I can prove it over the phone.
Okay, so let's do it. Let's prove it so that the people who are listening, Billy, will understand where you're coming from.
All right.
Okay?
Very simply. Rub your hands together, everybody.
Okay. Heat.
Rub your hands together.
Create heat.
Take them about 18 inches apart, directly opposite each other, facing one another. Bring your hands together very slowly. As you do, you're going to feel as if you're starting to push up against something, an invisible force. Keep coming together, and you'll start feeling a heat between your hands. When you get there, stop.
Okay.
You feel it?
Yes.
That's healing power right there. Where you can take and put a person who has, say, rheumatoid arthritis. You can put your hands on both sides of the wherever the affliction is located, and you can take that pain away instantly.
And so for the listeners, explain it to them why that works.
Because they're born with it. It is a power that you were born with, that you were innately endowed with. This power is yours. It's nothing that you had to be trained for. It's nothing that you have to, basically you don't have to be trained for it. It's a power within you.
Yeah, you don't have to learn it. It's already.
You don't have to learn it. You already have it. It's something that you were born with conceived from the womb. Okay? And if you didn't have any inoculations when you were growing up, or shots, which is very few people can say that. I don't know of anybody that can say that, actually, beside myself. But if you had gotten vaccinations or inoculations when you were a child, then you still have this power, but it's nullified. It is not powerful enough for you to. If some of you didn't feel it, it's not powerful enough for you to actually, you know, feel it. But it's there. The more you exercise the exercise I just told you, the more you're going to feel it. And when you start using it, the more you're going to understand that you have it, which means you don't have to have a mediator between you and God. The mediator between you and God is you.
I agree with that, totally. I'll tell you a little story real quick. When I was a child, this is how I did not want to have any shots or vaccinations. As a child, when I was like, I think, 5 or 6, and they were going to vaccinate me, it actually took my dad, 2 nurses, and my mother to hold me down on the floor while the doctor gave me a vaccination. That is how much I did not want one, even at that age.
Right. Because you knew what it would do to you.
Right. You know, and yet they don't want to hear that. They don't want to listen to that. And I didn't. And the doctor ended up saying, you know, I'm never going to give her anything else. And he never did after that. You know,
right.
But we have that. We have that knowledge in us. It's just that we really don't use it. So let's go back to Hollow Earth for a little bit.
Okay.
So when they're teaching you all of this good stuff about who you are and how special you are and how everybody can be special, at what age, Billy, do they really start teaching you, or is it from day one?
It's from day one. As soon as you are able, as soon as you open your eyes and you realize that you're living, you start learning right there. And everything is taught to you through through telepathy. Mm-hmm. People in the Hollow Earth do not talk. They communicate mind to mind. And their minds are one, so they actually know what each other are thinking.
So it must be pretty quiet and peaceful there, right?
It's very peaceful. Very harmonious. And like I say, it's not what you say or what you think that gets you in trouble. It's what you say. So, in actuality, on the earth, on the surface of the earth, way, way back, people spoke with telepathy. Even before the written language was written down. But then, right after what was called the submersion of Atlantis and the submersion of Lemuria, the language or the speaking language was introduced.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when things started falling apart.
Yeah, I can understand that one.
Yes, and you know, I have a lot of people that are, they're so determined to want to believe wholeheartedly the Bible, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what gets me, this has been a question to me, and even when I went to seminary, I asked the same question, they couldn't answer it. I said, okay, you have Adam and Eve, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you have Cain and Abel, right?
Right.
Okay, Cain slew Abel, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then Cain went and dwelt in the land of Nod.
Right.
And he took him a wife.
Mm-hmm.
Where did the wife come from?
Yeah. See, that's my thing. People won't like what I'm about to say, okay? But this is what I tell the people who are very religious fanatics who won't listen.
Right.
You know, they tell me about the Bible, and I say, well, let's look at this. If the Bible says that we were formed from Adam and Eve, that means that our entire society, every single child that's born has been born through incest.
That's right.
And they go, what? And they get very upset. But if they're to believe that story, that's also what they would have to believe. So let's talk a little bit more about once you came on to the outer earth. Now, you were going to go to the Pentagon, and the reason why I'm saying this is because there's a few things I want to cover before our hour is up. So you were going to be taken to the Pentagon. So what happened once you got there?
As soon as I got there, they started, you know, asking me all kinds of questions and about my past, my recent past existence, basically. My growing up in my childhood, they wanted to know how come I believed the way I believed. Because the way I believed and the way I've always believed is that the earth is not solid. It is hollow and all this. And I don't choose to believe the way they, tried to teach me, even in school. In science school, science class, I blew the science teacher's mind. You know, they got on the subject of the makeup of the earth, and they said, is there any questions? I raised my hand. He should never give me the floor. Because what I did, I blew him away. You know, as far as, messing his mind up. I said, why are you lying to us? He goes, what? I said, why are you lying to us about the true nature of the earth? He goes, what do you mean? I said, you and I both know the earth is hollow. Go to the principal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I went through a lot of those days. Not for that same reason, but I went through a lot of those days.
Okay, well, anyway, back to the Pentagon. See, I blew people's mind even as growing up, so because of my beliefs and understanding. So it was the same thing at the Pentagon. You know, they knew. I think the reason that I was stationed at the Pentagon was because of what happened to me when I was 12 years old, when I was picked up by a UFO and taken to the Hollow Earth. Okay,
mm-hmm.
But anyway, that's another story. But as I was at the Pentagon, my adoptive father, he said that you need to be stationed at another facility. It's in Nevada. Connected with Nellis Air Force Base, and because of your expertise and your knowledge and your beliefs. But you need to be given a field commission, a full colonel, because the ones that are in command there are full colonel and above. Okay, whatever. So they gave me a field commission from a second lieutenant right up to the full colonel. And, I accepted it because, you know, it was more money.
Of course. More money and more power to go with.
More power to go with
knowing.
It. More responsibility to go with.
Right. Right.
But anyway, so they said, and you will be here for 3 more weeks, and then you'll be shipped over to, you'll be flying out to Nellis Air Force Base. So I remained there for another 3 weeks for indoctrination about Area 51. And then from that point, I was boarded on a C-130 transport and flown out to Nellis Air Force Base. And got to Nellis Air Force Base, and they proceeded to give me more indoctrination about where I was going. They said, you will not see the light of day for 11.5 years.
Wonderful.
Wonderful. Uh-huh. But before we did that, they gave us $5,000 in cash and to go have fun in Vegas.
Well, that was nice of them.
Yeah.
So when they took you there and you actually ended up in Area 51, because I know Area 51 has a lot of mysteries, a lot of misconceptions, a lot of stories.
Oh,
so,
yes.
Just briefly, talk a little bit about Area 51, because it's got a lot of mystery to it.
Yes, it does. You have two segments of Area 51. You have S4, which was where Bob Lazar was at, and I knew Bob Lazar. In fact, I was responsible for giving him a tour of the Area 51 complex, under orders, of course. So I met the man. And so I can attest to the fact that he was there, and he was also at Los Alamos as well, and then he was reassigned to S4, and then he was given instructions to report to the elevator that took him down to the Area 51 facility, where I met him at the elevator and gave him a tour of the facility, and also took him to the hangar deck of the American UFOs or aeroships. There were 16 of them, all lined up, and he was able to observe them close up and go inside them because of his knowledge with propulsions. That's why he was there. So after that happened, then, of course, when I got to Area 51 myself, I boarded an aircraft at McCarran Air Force Base. It was a white jet with a red stripe, and no windows blacked out. Boarded the aircraft along with a bunch of other civilians. We took off, we landed, we taxied into a hangar. I thought it was a hangar. I got out, looked up, pitch black. No, I couldn't see no stars or anything. And I said, well, how come there's no stars? You're inside a mountain. Oh. Okay. All right. Understand. So at that point, we boarded into a staff vehicle, and the civilians got boarded into buses, and we started going straight, and suddenly the staff car dropped down at a 45-degree angle and went down, drove down about a mile. We stopped. We got out. We entered, and we were told to disrobe completely down to our birthday suit, and we did so. We put in. We went into separate buildings, men into one, women in the other. A fine mist descended down on us, after which time we were given a jumpsuit, gray in color, and put that on, re-entered the staff vehicle, drove down another 45-degree angle to about another mile or two, got out, went into another round building, same scenario. A mist come down on top of us. Then we were given a white jumpsuit with a triangle on the right sleeve. It said Black Projects above the triangle. It said Facility 51 below it. And that was our uniform.
Okay, so in Area 51, because most people want to know, and since you've been there, most people want to know if one, is there crash space UFOs there? Are there aliens somewhere in there that are alive and working with our government? Those are the two biggest questions that most people want to know about Area 51.
Okay. As far as the alien presence, affirmative.
Okay.
There are beings. In fact, my instructor of the craft that I flew was a Zeta Reticulan.
Okay.
He is short, about 4 foot tall, almond-shaped eyes, and never spoke a word. He spoke to my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Telepathy.
Okay.
There are other races there. There are the Nordics, which are blonde-haired, blue eyes, actually blonde-haired and turquoise eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very mellow people, very harmonious people, very joyful. And they also didn't speak with their mouths. They also spoke with telepathy. They could speak with their mouths, but they prefer to use telepathy.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the ones that are the other type of races, such as reptilian.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the mantis people that are insectoid. But they all speak with telepathy. No verbal communications.
Now, do some of those that are in Area 51 actually come out to the outer Earth?
The Nordics have been allowed to mingle with the population. In fact, there is a family of Nordics living in Las Vegas. Of course, they look like everyone else except they look like hippies. They all have long hair and turquoise eyes, and they're children of the same way. And they even attend, the children attend public school. So, you know, they blend in pretty much. There are people that from other star systems that are working with the government and also are living in homes in and around the area.
Cool. Now, we're almost out of time right now, Billy.
Ooh,
so I'm gonna call this part one, okay?
Okay.
And I'm going to see if we can do something during the week and then play it this coming Sunday, but I don't know if we can or not for the people who are listening.
Okay. Would you like to speak with Zora at that time?
Probably, because there's more, so much more.
Oh,
and
yes.
I really want it out, but you know, with an hour show, we go by very quickly. But yeah. I just, if people want to look up a biography about you, where would they go to find that?
They can go on the internet and they can punch in ourhollowearth.com.
Okay. And what about looking up your name? Can they find you there, too?
Yes, they can type my name of Billy Fay Woodard, and it will also bring up my bio.
Okay. So people can go check it out, which is really very fascinating. But there's so much more, Billy. So at some point in time here, I'm going to see if we can do another show quickly so we can put it up so people don't forget what this one has been about, which if they have any thoughts going on at all. I don't know how they could forget it real quick, but
that's true.
You never know about that. But there's a lot more to talk about, and there's a lot more for people to know. And
lot of the people that were listening, I guarantee you, if they did that exercise, they're already been blown away.
Which is true, which is very true. Just one question, and we only have like a minute to answer it, and that
yes.
is, to enter Hollow Earth, how many different locations are there?
The two main ones are North and South Poles.
Okay.
The North Pole, as a geographical pole, doesn't exist. It's in midair, because there is an opening there, and the actual opening is 90 miles across. And this has been verified through Delta pilots that have actually seen the opening.
Okay, but not entered it.
Not entered it, no.
Is it protected?
Protected. On the outside, the military does patrol the area, but they only go by what they see on radar. The key is to go below radar and very close to the surface, and you will be able to enter into the opening. Then once you enter into the opening, you will be intercepted by the Flugerads, which are the UFOs from inside. And they, at that point, they will determine if you are worthy to enter or not.
Okay, cool. Anyway, our time is actually up. I could go on and on and on, so but we can't right now. So hang on while we talk to Don, but I'd like to thank you, the listeners. Have a great week. Think about what we've talked about, and we'll talk again next week. So have a great week, and take care.